Off the Ball.
G-A-A. Look, we targeted getting off to a better start than we did against Mayo. We were very disappointed with our first half performance against Mayo. I think we definitely brought a lot of the learnings from that game out there today, particularly the way we defended.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Inside the Odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your bet builder loses. NoviBet, more power to you.
18 plus, play responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Okay, we've got a full house for this. Phil is here, David's here, Dara's here. The World Cup has started properly.
Yeah.
They waited for the stars to arrive. Very Hollywood-esque of everything. And lo and behold, everybody, even Isak and Gyökeres, are getting in on the act.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at the two lads?
What does that mean?
Why are you laughing at them? They're entitled to their moment in the sun, no?
Yeah. Isak's had a quiet year. He's had a year off.
He's been injured.
His leg was broken.
He's got a broken leg. You can't really score goals with a broken leg.
Gyökeres scored, 20 goals in the Premier League?
In all competitions.
Yeah.
The real star of the show, though, was Messi last night. So
Mbappe and Haaland as well. Like, if you were to script, if the boring ChatGPT was, well, we give Messi his first hat trick, Mbappe will break his record, Haaland will do two in his first. And you're like, I do like the Norway jerseys as well, as an aside.
Yeah, Haaland could have had his hat trick as well. He had a good chance. His two goals probably have a combined total of 6 yards out.
Yeah.
That's why he's a poacher.
I think David brought up Argentina because of the jersey he has on there.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking this morning, it's like, what would I put on? It's like, oh, we're doing Inside the Odds. So Argentina, good win last night. And
the 94 jersey where he spits at the camera.
Yeah. And he was marched off the field by a famous nurse. I actually forget her name now. But
and he was off his head on barbiturates. Was it barbiturates? What was he on?
He was on like a drug that basically reduces your fat. Makes it thin.
That's...
Ozempic.
Ozempic. Ozempic before was Ozempic. Yeah.
Anyway.
We are up and running. England-Croatia are the games we're going to talk about here on the show this morning. England-Croatia, Portugal, DR Congo, Scotland-Morocco, Brazil-Haiti. And we might also have time for USA-Australia, given they both had good performances. America look pretty good, don't they?
Yeah. I think out of all the teams I've watched so far, that was probably the most impressive from start to finish performance.
Yeah, like, it's mad. You're kind of looking through the US squad, and we talked about it on the segment last week, and you're thinking, oh yeah, you know, he's a good player, like Tyler Adams, good player, Christian Pulisic, a good player. Then you look through the clubs who they're all playing at. They're all playing at like top European clubs, Juventus, AC Milan, PSV, obviously a couple of players playing in the Premier League as well, like Chris Richards. Pretty good squad, and Pochettino seems to be getting a bit of a song out of them as well at the moment. So
pace, they have a lot of pace, and Pulisic was electric, and they could take him off at half time.
Yeah,
confidence player, I think, isn't he?
Yeah,
and so long as it's not injured. There was definitely the shadow of some injury there, but the pace in the weather might be the combination that ends up winning this, because you know, people are talking about there's four quarters you end up being able to plan for bursts of energy depending on where the weather is. But you can't actually, you know, if the team is running away from you constantly over the course of the 90 minutes and they use their squad properly. It's interesting, France only used two subs. I'm just not sure about that.
Yeah, what's the...
As time goes on.
Yeah, like, and the subs that they do have, like, on the bench, like, obviously, Cherki come on, but...
Barkala.
And Bradley Barkala scores, great goal, but, like, there's so much talent there to use. Deschamps doesn't make a whole pile of changes though from game to game though, really. No. Generally he doesn't.
He'll do it for the third game.
You have to though, this World Cup, surely.
It's all done.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure that the four attacking players and the two midfielders...
It's a lot.
Yeah, we were speculating earlier that N'Golo Kante will play in the big games, that he's being totally rested for the knockout stuff to survive. I don't know.
Well, this is what tournament football is about. You work out your best team as it goes on and, you know, like Elise started off on the right, then he came in the centre. He was brilliant in the second half. Yeah. Not very good in the first half. Mbappe was awful in the first half.
Yeah.
Ball was bouncing off him. But then that's we kind of got a little insight into what France could do later in this tournament, where they could have a spell where they scored three or four goals in the space of a few minutes.
It is remarkable that the biggest players all showed up with goals on the same day.
Yeah.
Like, this almost never happens.
Yeah.
To the level that, like, Messi scores his first hat-trick in a World Cup.
Do you know, like the old days when you used to watch La Liga and Cristiano Ronaldo would go and score a goal or two, and then a couple of hours later Messi would go and score three.
Yeah.
And then the following weekend Ronaldo scored two or three, and then Messi scored two or three again. It was kind of that, like, well, you've done that. And even Messi's post-match comments last night, he even mentioned the fact that Mbappe had scored two, and he was like, oh, he's a great player and he's obviously close to the record, and then Messi goes and gets three. Like, it's just, you know, and Ronaldo and Messi both have been speaking in their pre-match press conferences about how each other has kind of driven them on and to the levels where they're at. And it's still mad that they're still doing it at Messi's, what, 39, Ronaldo 41. It's incredible, really.
Yeah. It's never been a given that, you know, great goal scorers for their clubs perform at the World Cup. We were talking about Wayne Rooney earlier and his record at the World Cup. So, yeah, it is pretty remarkable what's going on at the minute. I just hope it continues. Like, you'd imagine Haaland will continue to score goals. I'm not convinced the Swedish lads will continue to score goals. Depends how far they go.
Another dig at the Swedes.
Listen, like, I like both players, but I don't know. I think someone doesn't count the opposition there and the crisis there.
There's like the instructions in their flat pack.
About the US though, right? I like the investment they put in to the team. We talk about Pochettino being there now and the players playing in Europe. Like, they probably just suffer from the noise around the team in terms of how we view them as a football team, in terms of like their own fans and their own media and the LeBron James of soccer and all that type of crack. Like, they're actually just a really good football team. Like, yeah. I'm not saying they're contenders, but they're a team that can really go deep into this tournament, and we just don't really think about them like that because the view we probably have of American soccer.
Mm. Home advantage has always counted for a lot, generally.
Of course, yeah.
So, we'll see. And then, of course, obviously the big strikers on show today, Portugal versus DR Congo at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, 9 o'clock Wednesday is England versus Croatia. So we expect Cristiano and Harry Maguire to step up to the plate.
Harry Kane.
Harry Maguire would if he was there.
Yeah, he didn't get the call up when Livramento pulled out. No, Shalaba.
Was there any consideration given, do you think, to that? Like, obviously not, but...
They're a bit light now at fullback, but that to me suggests that Kwanzaa's next up for right back. And Jed Spence, I think, is going to play as a left back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like Tuchel has a plan for each position, and he's very meticulous about who plays in what role and who plays in what position. He's like, he wants specialists in each position. I'm not really sure about Kwanzaa at right back, though.
No. Well, more of a centre half, but he's been playing in a back three as well with Leverkusen. But with Spence, it's interesting that being a right footer playing as a left back, if you're playing, say, for example, against France later in the tournament, you're up against Elise. If you're playing, one advantage playing as a left back as a right footer is if players, inverted wingers, which are so popular now, when they cut inside, you're comfortable. You're more comfortable than the outside.
Yeah.
How have they ended up in this position, though? Like, they've produced so many great fullbacks over the last 10, 15 years, and they're talking about having to play players out of position in the back four. It's like, they've so much depth there. Like,
yeah, well, he hasn't picked, like, obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw, Lewis Hall. Like, a lot of people thought, kind of presumed that Lewis Hall would come in, and like Jed Spence would obviously play a right back, but it seems like what you said there, Phil, is basically they want the dominant side of the player on the right.
At a push, Ezri Konsa can also play right back if they
absolutely
need to.
Yeah.
And that would allow them to get Gaye back in the team, who we were talking to John Bruin this morning. He thinks that it's going to be Stones and Konsa is the word.
I like
from
Konsa.
The camp.
Good.
Stones is an interesting one, though. The fact that he hasn't played much football at all,
so like 80 minutes or something this season he's played.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman.
Yeah.
World Cups are full of those players who...
Messi's just been taking it easy for the last few years compared to the rest of people slogging it out in Europe.
Yeah.
And he's just casually walking around MLS.
I will be very interested to see how the Europeans and world stars who have decamped to Saudi play in this tournament, given that they'll be acclimatised and rested. I don't think Darwin Nunes did particularly well in his opening 45 minutes.
No, he was too rested.
He was deregistered.
Yeah.
He hasn't played any football.
Hasn't played since February.
And they looked so much better without him in the second half.
Yeah.
That's not ideal. England against Croatia, 9 o'clock tonight. Shane, who's not here, gave us this bet, right? Which was going to be entirely outrageous until we decided to trim it slightly. He wanted a penalty to be awarded, Harry Kane over 1.5 shots on target, and Reece James to be yellow carded, which would have come in at like 1 million to 1. But anyway, We cut the penalty and it's Reece James to be yellow carded, Harry Kane two or more shots on target. That's 12-1.
I can see it happening.
It's a good price.
Yeah.
Just on Reece James, if he gets injured.
Oh.
Which
screwed.
He has a history of being injured.
Mm.
Then that's obviously all the conversation we were having. That's where it all comes into play.
Yeah.
Outside of Harry Kane, is he the most important player? Maybe Pickford. Pickford's been such a mainstay, but
yeah,
the irreplaceable players there.
Declan Rice.
Well, see, if they're playing well, yeah. Declan Rice plays well. He could
young
be
English lion. Yeah. Vice captain.
Leader. I know you're taking the piss, David. I can hear it in your voice.
Do you know what kind of really annoyed me was there was a piece about, like, a long read in The Guardian about Declan Rice. Was it last weekend or the weekend before? Made no mention of his three senior caps with Ireland. You know, it was all this nonsense about, like, you know, getting let go by Chelsea and then going to West Ham and, you know, crying in the back of the car as a little teenager, you know, getting let go. And
kissing the badge.
Not one mention of him kissing the Ireland badge and playing against Turkey for Martin O'Neill's Ireland side, which I just thought was crazy.
It obviously doesn't matter. It turns out they don't think. They've not thought of that once.
No, they've moved on. I think, David, you need to move on.
I probably should move on, but, like, it's just mad, like, how, you know, he could be reaching, was it 75 caps, I think, during this tournament?
He did 120 for us, wouldn't he?
78 international caps.
78 international caps, you know. And, like, he is vice captain, so let's say Harry Kane, you know, one of his ankles go and, you know, it's the World Cup final and Declan Rice is there lifting the trophy.
Ah, they'd do a joint. Well, I was going
to
joint.
You'd need to be dead.
Obviously, Trump will be part of the lift as well.
Yeah, true.
So it's three people. That's three alone, people have lifted the trophy.
Donald Trump, Gianni Infantino, Declan Rice, and Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Oh,
what a fever dream that was. Jesus. Inside the Odds is with Novi Bet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg. Get up to a 10 € free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer. If your bet builder loses, Novi Bet, more power to you. 18+. Play responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie. So, do we think England are going to win this? Like,
tonight?
Yeah,
I think so. I think it's a good game as well, where Croatia have pedigree. They're a name in world football.
But they're not as good as they used to be.
No, but you know, we said that at the Euros as well, and they just have this...
tournament mentality?
Yeah. They
have become a cliche. It's like, the first tournament was 98, third place, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah. Yeah. They were good at Euro 96 as well. We kind of got to... And actually, you think of Davor Suker, they haven't had a really top striker since he wasn't there, or like the Boxage was obviously class as well. Like
Dado Pearce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of that, but like obviously it all revolves around Luka Modric, 40.
Yeah.
And you think back to first real memories for a lot of people with Modric playing for Croatia is that game at Wembley. The Wally with the body, Steve McLaren. But it's actually Modric was unbelievable that night. This small little midfielder controlled on things against all these big physical English players, and there was the little magician in the middle and he's still doing it.
Yeah.
There was ever a tournament though, specifically this tournament in 2026, that a 40-year-old is going to dominate for a team. It's going to be this one. Like Messi last night, Vecinha for Cape Verde the other night. Like, it's kind of in fashion for the old boys to be taken over.
Mm. Speaking of old boys, even Perisic is still involved.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like,
26 goal involvements this year for PSV.
Right.
Which is a bit mad.
Yeah.
But like, always scores in major tournaments. Broke English hearts, obviously, back in 2018 as well in that semi-final. This is like, it's a really interesting game kind of historically as well, especially that semi-final where John Stones famously made that massive error that, you know, in the semi-final. But like, if you look at the team that played in 2018 and you look at the team that played tonight, like, there's quite a lot of similar players. Modric, Kovacic, Perisic, maybe even Andrej Kramaric as well, 35. So, one of the oldest teams in the tournament as well, Croatia.
Which you would assume is bad, but because there are four quarters and the opportunity to rest and teams aren't going to be going, they'll be a little bit scared as the tournament progresses of doing too much. Maybe there's room for them to just like wise their way through matches. I don't know. I guess that's why we're going to play the tournament. So you're not predicting a routine England win?
No, I am. I am. I think England will have more than enough for Croatia. Like, yeah, Croatia are going to play, probably play a back three, and obviously Vardiol's back, and the one of the highest rated centre backs in Europe, Luka Vucevic, who's obviously a Tottenham player but was on loan at Hamburg last season.
Yeah, he's gone. There's talk that he's going to go to Brighton.
Yeah.
Which obviously Brighton are, like, Van Heck is on his way out of Brighton.
Yeah. Are Brighton playing 4D chess and Tony Bloom? Kind of seems like they are nearly, you know.
Croatia are 9-2 with Novi Bet to win this game. It's a massive price.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think Croatia are going to win, but if a draw would be a great start for them. You think back to the start of the Euros 5 years ago, England were unconvincing in a win against Croatia.
Yeah.
So maybe the same thing kind of happens. It'd be interesting to see just like so much pressure on Thomas Tuchel, because you just know that if things go wrong, he is going to get it from the English press.
Well, especially because they announced that he's got this new contract where, oh no, look, it's okay, we have a clause, there's a clause and it'll be fine. But I presume that clause is like, you're going to pay me half if you want to sack me, as opposed to, no, it's if we don't win, it's like, it's fine. So.
Do you remember in the Euros, they started pretty badly, England? They stumbled through the group stage.
That's it. But I remember actually that Croatia game, thinking, like, if you were playing England, you wouldn't really be worried about them. But they just became so hard to beat, and then they just gradually started working their way through, and then the Germany wins. So, you know, it's a long slog. This 48 teams, like, there's still groups I just don't even know who's in them. People say Group K, I'm like, no idea.
Can't be learning that. You just have to go the group with Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our England-Croatia preview. Portugal versus DR Congo is also obviously tonight as well. Do Portugal have the best midfield in the tournament?
Certainly up there, yeah.
Has to be.
And is that going to be enough to counteract the fact that they have Ronaldo stinking the joint out? Or is Ronaldo going to play well?
He's going to score goals, but that doesn't mean he's going to play well.
Yeah, two separate things there, yeah. That may not matter in the end. But, yeah, he's going to start. I think that's inevitable. You can't get around it. But in the warm-up games, he wasn't really scoring goals and he wasn't playing well. So,
we've seen him play, obviously, here against Ireland, and he was pretty poor.
Didn't even last the game.
He should have been suspended for these games.
Those two games he should be banned for. And that would actually help Portugal.
They'd be through.
Yeah.
But it might actually hurt them more, where they'd win their first couple of games so handy and they'd be thinking, geez, we look good, don't we? And then he comes back in and then it goes back to the norm.
Maybe they realise, do you know what? Better off without him here. Leave him on the bench.
Yeah.
They thought that in the last tournament, and Gonzalo Ramos comes on and scores a hat-trick in 2022. But then they go back to Ronaldo in 2024, so in the Euros.
But that's, look, we know that if he's there, like, you can't leave him out. Could you imagine what would happen if Roberto Martinez says, you're gone?
Well, he has shown no inkling of an ability to manage that up to this point.
No.
And the Portuguese Football Federation seem to be happy to embrace the cult of Ronaldo for all the reasons, I suppose, we understand. It's money and, he's been relatively efficient at scoring goals, I have to say.
Yeah, he's the leading male international goal scorer of all time, but he's 41. And I think, like, if Portugal really, you know, if Roberto Martinez had any bottle, he would drop him and he'd play maybe even Bruno Fernandes as like a false nine and he'd play a midfield with like Bernardo Silva, João Neves, Ruben Neves, Vitinha, like those players kind of roll off the tongue and they're all highly technical players that are going to keep the ball. They'll have pace at Rafa Leão on one of the wings. Another player as well who actually is a bit of a joke is João Felix. Terrible against Ireland in those games and a terrible attitude as well. Terrible body language, as you know, when he's on the pitch.
I think where he is in club football now at his age says a lot about him.
Yeah, Al Nassr in Saudi Arabia.
He's a bit too young to be committing his future there. It's a shame they're not building their team around players like that. Because, like, you cycle through a few there, like, there's some players in the best form of their life, like world-class players that are playing second fiddle to a guy who's not in the best form of his life and is probably pretty far past it. But, you know, he may end up scoring 7 goals and, you know, Portugal go on to get to a final and, you know, that noise drowns out, but I don't know. I think he could be a real detriment to that team.
Maybe he gets injured and it's for the best for the team, and everybody goes, oh, you know.
We've kind of consumed Messi and Ronaldo in this last 4 years since 2022, or 3.5 years since 2022, in clip form only. And a lot of the clips of Ronaldo have been him falling over, him crying because he didn't get penalty decisions or refereeing decisions go his way. So, yeah, I know people are like, you know, the supercomputers and Opta are like tipping Portugal to go far and do well in the tournament. I can't see it.
I just think it might feel so good that like they will be able to...
They just hold on to the ball.
Yeah. And that will... You'd think in the conditions that will be useful, but... Again, okay, so Portugal... Are we writing DR Congo off here?
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely like, not.
No.
Definitely not. No.
They have some handy players, I think.
Cedric Bakambu, 35 years old, Real Betis striker. Famously was like doing really well in Europe. I think he went to China, I think, back when he was in his 20s. And has come back to Europe. And
was it Oscar who did that as well? Chelsea player?
Yeah. But like, there's some good players like Johan Wisse. You know, had a pretty terrible Premier League season, but...
Maybe like Alexander Isak, he arrives at the World Cup and refines the form.
There is a link with them.
Yeah. And I think we were chatting about this in the office the other day, Phil. Noah Siddiqui is one of the best players in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's with Sunderland now, but he's going on to bigger and better things. With all due respect to Sunderland, like, he had an unbelievable season, as did they. He'll also get booked today. He will definitely get booked.
Yeah.
Especially in that midfield, because he could be chasing shadows at times and he'll leave one in on someone. But he is a really good player, yeah.
Okay, so that should actually be a good game this afternoon.
Do you think they'll beat them? They have a chance?
Well, I think what we've seen now with certain teams in this tournament is if you have a well-organised defence and make it hard for teams to break you down, then teams leave themselves open. That, like, even I know Germany won 7-1 the other day, but the odd time Curaçao got the ball, actually, they looked quite dangerous on the break. Mm. I think of Haiti and Scotland, where Haiti caused a few issues for Scotland on the break. So I'm not saying DR Congo will win, but definitely just like, even as much of a rear guard performance it was for Cape Verde, there was one or two moments where they were on the break against Spain and they just picked the wrong ball. They got a bit excited, which is understandable. So if DR Congo can sit in and frustrate Portugal, they definitely have enough on the break that they could create a few chances.
All right.
They have some players that are familiar to us as well, like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Axel Tuanzebe, Arthur Masuaku, that was at West Ham, and Chancellor Mbemba, who's our captain, who used to be at Newcastle as well. So they do have some good players.
Who did you say is going to get booked?
Siddiqui.
Okay. The Scotland performance, people were critical of it afterwards because they only scored one goal, but actually maybe in the context of the other shock performances from other teams, and you see that there's been no real mugs so far, maybe they'll be happy enough to have got the 3 points, because it really means that more than likely they're going to have knockout football.
Yeah, that's all that mattered. Like, it was
Morocco were really good though, so what did they do in this game?
I'd be surprised if he went with two up front again. I thought Lauren Shankland obviously got the nod. I thought Shea Adams was the better of the two. I didn't think Shankland had a great game, and I can understand why he went for two, because they were playing the weakest team in the group, but I would think he'd probably throw another player into midfield to try and basically just crowd it out. And Morocco obviously were excellent in midfield.
And it's Scotland's strongest part of the field, really.
Yeah, well, you can basically say, for example, you bring in Ryan Christie, and then maybe you just say to McTominay, you play off Shea Adams. I presume he would stick with Shea Adams. I thought he was tidy in the bits he did. I know Lyndon Dykes came on and he gives you that option to go more direct. But they did go direct at times to Shea Adams, which, if you think back to the McTominay effort off the post, that was a ball over the top, which Adams pulled down. Lovely control, and just plays it out to McTominay, who has those moments in him. And I wonder, you know, he obviously missed a few training sessions, Scott McTominay. He had a stomach bug, so I wonder, would he be feeling even fitter now for this game? Like, he played the full game the other night.
Scotland were good for parts, but I thought so. I was quite worried defensively about them as well. Haiti were a bit of an unknown quantity. We kind of see that actually have quite some decent players, like obviously Wilson Isidore playing at Sunderland. Franzi Piero nearly scores that header towards the end. And it was a game that, yeah, it was a difficult game for Scotland, as in, like, you're expected to win. You're kind of, and even if you do win, you're still, there's still criticism of the Scotland performance. But the most important thing for them is they won. If they keep one more clean sheet in the last two games, okay, it's against Brazil and Morocco, they're going to qualify with four points.
They mightn't even need, like, if they they lost their next two games, but they, like, narrowly, they could be all right, you know?
Yeah.
So do you sit in and play for a draw in this game and then you get to go and have to crack against Brazil? It's, like, I know it's very dangerous.
And it is dangerous,
obviously, Morocco are talented and have lots of opportunities.
Like, we're talking about DR Congo's strength in the break. Do Scotland have that kind of strength in transition? I'm not totally convinced. The speed that's required to score against Morocco in that type of situation, it's a risky strategy. If you concede
the ball
early,
do the work, you know, they've got good ball players.
Yeah, they do, but if you concede early, I don't see them coming from behind against Morocco.
I can't see them keeping the ball enough against Morocco. Morocco are going to dominate the ball possession, I think.
Scotland are a strange team at times where I watch them and I think they look really bad.
And then they win the game.
They win the game and they come away. But because they have those players, like McTominay can score a bicycle kick.
Yeah.
Shea Adams are, like, McGinn. Like, McGinn's goal the other night is probably one of the worst strikes he's ever hit. Usually, you know, when the ball falls to him, he'd absolutely hammer that one in.
Yeah.
But they do have players that can come up with big moments, so I would never write them off in that sense. And, like, it's all about getting knockout football. That's never happened for them. This is the chance. Like, these players have a chance to, like, you think of all the great Scottish players that have played at World Cups, never
all the way back,
never got out of a group.
Yeah.
These Scottish players can do that. Now, I do worry about them defensively and the goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, Angus Gunn dropped one at one of the Haiti strikers' feet and at the weekend, and it was only Grant Hanley that made a really good block to keep the game at 1-0.
It's the other game in that group is 1:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Brazil versus Haiti. Is this where we see Brazil finally, you know, kick into gear? Or
I'd be worried for them even against Haiti. Like, they were just so disconnected, against Morocco. Like, the gaps between the back four and the midfield and the strikers are just so big, and you can't, in conditions like this, on pitches like these that they're playing in the US, you can't afford to do that. You can't afford to leave Casemiro or Fabinho or even Bruno Guimaraes or whoever else it is covering 50 yards of room, because they got picked off against Morocco. And, you know, like, 1-1 is probably a fair result, but Morocco are definitely were the better of the two teams.
I don't think, like, Morocco are a really good team. Morocco, I think, will go deep in this tournament. They should do.
Yeah.
So 1-1 was fine for Brazil. And he'll have a few decisions to make in terms of, does he start Igor Thiago again? Like, I'd feel bad for him if he gets left out, because you think, like, of where he's come from. Only a few years ago, he was playing for Ludogorets. Then gets his move to Bruges, then joins Brentford, gets a knee injury, scores 22 Premier League goals. He must have been bricking it when he was playing the other day.
So maybe he gets this start, gets a few goals, and he's up and running, and he's the new Todos Kelechi.
Yeah, maybe. But then I thought Cunha looked good when he came on.
They're not the same, though, are they?
No, it's a different. You're changing things up, but I just
We get conditioned to believe these players play the way we see them week in, week out. And then the international manager's like, I don't see that at all. And I play something totally different. And away you go. And it's like he can play as a nine if they need him to.
Yeah. I hope for him, like, I'd be worried he'd end up, like, I think he's a better player than Fred was back in, was that 2014? That he kind of got scapegoated at the end of the tournament. I'd be worried that if he starts
striker,
every game.
Striker Fred.
That if he starts every game, doesn't play well, it could really do damage to his confidence going back to club football. And I think he's a really good player, but it's a lot to ask in that Brazilian attack as well. Like, he's a lot to carry. Like, I know there's great players either side of him, but he's in a very different role to them.
They do need to win the game, though, to, you know, settle all the nerves, make sure that they're also guaranteed to be going through. We talked about the USA-Australia game is the other one that we didn't talk about. The Australians, they were also very good.
Those dark horses, Turkey again
blowing up,
and they have a bunch of kids. You're like, well, that's a really interesting squad makeup. They've all come through their home system. Some of them still playing there. It's like, that's just an interesting age profile.
Yeah.
Where you don't expect them to go too deep into the tournament, but a young team who suddenly get a bit of confidence and start playing well with no pressure and no expectation.
Yeah. Like, it seems like football or soccer in Australia seems to be really on the up. It's definitely one of, you know, it's growing in popularity. You know, maybe in the next couple of years, it probably overtakes rugby union as the third most popular sport. And
probably already has.
In Australia. And one of the great things about this World Cup is that this Aussie team, you know, quite a lot of the players are like kind of the sons of, you know, immigrants into the country. You've got like Nestor Iracunda, Aura Mabel, who's like, I think, South Sudanese descent. Like, it's a really great story, and it seems to be bringing kind of the Australian nation together, and this seems to be a real buzz in Australia. And I know I have a couple of mates out there that are, you know, watching the games, and they're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch Australia, and it's like a really nice story, and it kind of puts a bit of faith in back in humanity and back in football, because, you know, all these players have came through and been developed in Australia, and they played really well against Turkey and have a serious opportunity of even topping the group or coming second and getting a favourable draw in the round of 32. And, you know,
the round of 32,
yeah, which is mad.
It's just like,
but if you think back though to the remember the game against Argentina and Qatar, they weren't far away from Argentina in that game. Like, Messi had to score late on, you know, to get Australia over the line. And they had a really big chance near the end as well. It was the guy that went to Newcastle, Garang Kuol, who missed a really good chance for the Aussies late on in that tournament. So they are a good side.
All right. A reminder that our bet builder is Reece James to be yellow carded and Harry Kane over 1.5 shots on target. Comes in at 12-1.
Yeah.
Inside the Odds at Novi Bet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day in football's biggest tournament this summer if your bet builder loses. Novi Bet, more power to you. 18 plus, play responsibly. See you next time.
Inside the Odds with Novi Bet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your bet builder loses. Novi Bet, more power to you.
18 plus, play responsibly. gamblingcare.ie.